My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I'll not be enslaved by any." In our world today, multiplied millions of people are enslaved to a problem. And that's the problem we've come to think about tonight in our doctrinal series of lessons. We're considering tonight, are these two ideas compatible? Is gambling and Christianity something that goes hand in hand? Is it authorized in the Bible? Should Christians go down to Tunica? Or should Christians buy lottery tickets? Should we take part in the local lottery system? Tonight we've come to ask, is there any word from the Lord? Jeremiah chapter 37 and verse 17. And so what do the Scriptures say about the subject of gambling tonight? Let's think first of all about some sad statistics and some definitions that we want to consider. When we talk about gambling, let's define our terms. We're talking about a game of luck or chance where money or something of value is gained or lost at others' expense. And so it has three definite parts included. A game of luck or chance. We're not talking about skill. We're not talking about a job, something of that nature. It's a game of solely luck or chance. Someone says, well, I've learned the odds. You may have learned the odds, but it still depends on luck or chance. It never is consistent in that way. And then, something must be wagered. There must be something of money, something of value placed up to make it gambling. And then thirdly, it's gained or lost at others' expense. That's the idea of betting. What I win, you lose. What I lose, you win. And so there's the losing and the winning side. Someone loses, someone wins in this idea. Now here are just some statistics that I think kind of help us to see the problem. We think about gambling, there are at least 12 million compulsive gamblers in the United States of America. 12 million people who are addicted to this problem. The average compulsive gambler, according to the Dallas Morning News, has $80,000 in outstanding debts. Because they wanted to gamble, they got themselves in that problem. The odds of winning. Now, here's where it gets where it doesn't make much sense. The odds of winning, according to the Las Vegas Sun, megabucks, are 1 in almost 50 million chance. Now you think about that. Your chance of winning is 1 in 50 million. Friend, you talk about astronomical. That's astronomical. I looked up today the odds of winning the Tennessee Pick 5 Plus are 1 in 1.6 million. You talk about an outstanding number. There it is. If I said to you, your chance of winning is 1 out of every 1.6 million, you'd say, well, there's just no chance I'd win. Well, that's the ratio that you're working with. The chances of winning are very, very low. In fact, getting struck by lightning is 7 times more likely than winning $1 million in the lottery. Can you imagine that? I've got a 7 times stronger chance of being outside and getting struck by lightning than I do winning $1 million in a lottery. That's the odds of which we're working with tonight. As we think about some more statistics, in communities where gambling does exist, crime rates are 84% higher. Now, you think about that for just a minute. Why is it that in gambling communities, crime rates are 84% higher? People will do extreme things to go to the gambling table to try to win that next big buck that's going to come in. More money is spent in our country on gambling, according to Christianity Today, than on elementary and secondary education combined. What an awesome amount of money that is. And of course, Americans spend more money on gambling every year than they spend on groceries. More people spend money on lotteries and casinos than they do putting food in their own pantries. And so it's a very, very big problem that we're working with in the United States. Well, what does the Bible say? Should Christians gamble? Absolutely not. And here are the reasons why. I am not being a good steward if I gamble my money away. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 6. And I want you to see what the Bible has to say on the subject. Or excuse me, I'm wrong about that. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Look in 1 Peter chapter 4. And I want you to notice that Christians are to be good stewards of the things God has given us. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'd like you to look with me in verse 10. The Bible says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, watch this, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus asked, who is that good and faithful steward whom the Lord will place over His things? The idea for the Christian is, what we have, it's really not our own. All good things come from God. James 1 verse 17, and while I've been entrusted with that, I'm only a steward. I'm only a manager of that which is really God. If I'm to be a good manager of it, is gambling, does that make me a good steward? Not at all. It doesn't make me a good steward of my money. If my chances of winning are that astronomical, how can I be a good manager of God's money? Does it make me a good manager of my talents? Am I really using my talents wisely if that's where I'm putting my talents at? And does it make me a good manager of my time? If I spend all my time, lots of time, a majority of time in gambling, learning it, being there doing it, think about what I really could have been using my time for. Saving the lost, studying the Word of God, encouraging other people. And so as you think about gambling, one of the major problems is you're not being a good steward of what God has given to His people. Then I would suggest that gambling violates the golden rule. Think about the words that Neil read tonight. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 12, you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If to win in gambling, I've got to take somebody's money, somebody has to lose. Are you really living the golden rule? Would you want somebody to beat you out of your paycheck? Would you want somebody to take your hard-earned money from you? How would you like it if someone took that from you? Well, you wouldn't like that. You wouldn't want somebody to do that to you, would you? As a Christian, I need to reciprocate that in my life. If I don't want somebody taking my hard-earned money, I don't want somebody stealing from me, taking the things I have, then I ought not to do that to others as well. And so you've got to beat somebody out of their paycheck. You've got to beat somebody out of their hard-earned money. And such is surely not the attitude Christians ought to have. We in Oklahoma, we live not far from a gambling casino just down the road from us. And it all got started. Here's the history of it. In the Cherokee, North Carolina, in that area, when they took the Indians, they took them mainly to Oklahoma and other places around it, and in that area they gave them a sovereign nation. They gave them their own nation inside the state of Oklahoma. And so there, on their land, they can do whatever they want pretty much. And last 10 or 12 years, they've monopolized on these casinos. The casinos that you hear about in Shreveport, Harrah's, and ones like that, they don't even begin to compare with the size of these. What started out as a casino about the size of this auditorium is now on about a 100-acre lot. And you can drive by on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, any weekday morning at 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, and there'll be more cars there than we'll ever get in the parking lot on 9:30, 10:30 on Sunday morning. And so they've really monopolized on that idea, but in following how it all worked out and following the way things went, we often read articles in the paper, the local paper that came out, where somebody had spent the night down gambling, and now they needed help buying groceries for their kids. That their baby didn't have enough milk to live off of, and so somebody spent all their money doing that. Well, what if I were that person who had been at the table gambling with them, knowing this person doesn't have the money to do that, and their babies are going to go hungry if I beat them out of that money. Is that really the golden rule? Are you really living like Jesus would want you to live if that's the mindset you've got? And so it isn't following the teaching of the golden rule that Jesus has set before us. Here's what Jesus said. We're to love God first and love our neighbor as ourselves. Do you really love your neighbor if you're sitting across the table hoping you can beat them out of their money? That's not the mindset Christians ought to have. Thirdly, gambling is against the will of God because it does cause addiction. Now take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I want you to look in verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. As you turn there, let me give you some facts that do support the idea that gambling is addictive. Someone says, well, I can go and gamble. I can buy a lottery ticket or two. I can go down there and just have fun. You may initially think that, but friends, the odds are against you on this as well. Gambling is addictive. It is something that when it gets in your system, you've just got to have the next high. You've got to get to the next table to do that. Here's some statistics. In 2001, the gross revenues from gambling were $68.7 billion. That's more money than Americans spent on music, movies, spectator sports, all the NFL, all the NBA, all the hockey games combined, video games, and theme parks combined. Now, you talk about an addiction. There it is. We spend more money on this than all these things combined. The National Council on Problem Gambling reported in March 2003 that over 80% of U.S. adults have reported gambling at least one time in the past year. It's a problem, and it's a problem that lots of people face. National Institute of Mental Health concluded that 4.2 million Americans are addicted to gambling. Now watch this. 60% of whose income is less than $25,000. What's that say? The people who are addicted to it don't have the money to be addicted to it. $25,000. Friends, if you've got an income and a family, that's a very low income to live off of if you've got a gambling problem. Now, you can work it together. You can make that work. But you throw gambling into the mix, and you don't have the money to support a habit like that. Look now in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and notice what Paul says in verse 12. Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, New King James renders it, but I will not be brought under the power of any. The English Standard Version says, I'll not be enslaved to any. If gambling is addictive, and it is that something the Christian should be enslaved to? Should I let myself be brought under the power of that? Not if I'm going to live for Christ. Not if I'm going to put the kingdom first. Not if I'm going to bring honor and glory to His name and give and use my talents as a Christian should. Galatians 5:23, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. If I'm addicted to gambling, I'm losing hold on self-control. 2 Peter 1, verse 6, one of the Christian virtues, again, we're to add to our faith knowledge, virtue, self-control. Do I have the control that I ought to if I'm addicted to the idea of gambling? Of course, the answer would be to that we are not. Romans 6, 17 and 18 teaches us we're to be enslaved to one thing. God be thanked that though you were the slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Having been set free from sin, we became enslaved to Jesus Christ. I'm under the power of Christ. I'm enslaved to Christianity. I'm a bondservant to do the will of God, not to gambling. Well, what else is wrong with gambling? The Bible teaches that it can ruin our Christian example. Think about some of these passages. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18, Paul said, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Matthew 5, 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Be an example to the believers. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, if I gamble, if I'm down at the casino, if I'm buying lottery tickets, if I'm playing the pick five, am I really being the type of example that I should be? Have I really come out of the world, if that's what I'm caught up in? Can I say, here's my lottery ticket, I'm being a good light for Jesus today? The two just don't go hand in hand. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, am I being an example to the believers if I do this? What about someone who may be a new Christian? Am I causing them maybe to stumble by my actions? You know, here's what it all comes down to tonight. Look in your Bible in 1 Thessalonians 5, and oh, that we could ingrain in our minds the principle of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. We wouldn't have these questions, well, is it really that bad? It won't hurt if I go down there one time, will it? We wouldn't have to ask and answer these questions if we really, I believe, understood what Paul is saying in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. I want you to see this with me. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21, Paul says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And then he says in verse 22, abstain from every appearance of evil. Does gambling, let me ask you to think about this. Would you say gambling appears to be evil, or does it appear to be righteous? Friend, it's associated with evil. It's associated with wickedness. It's associated with an ungodly lifestyle. If such is the case, and I am to abstain from every appearance of evil, can I be caught up in this and really be the Christian example that God wants me to be? Of course, again, the answer to that would be no. Gambling also can lead to dishonesty and deceit in one's life. Again, some facts that kind of help us to see this. The U.S. News and World Report analysis found crime rates in casino communities 84% higher. That's not honesty and righteous living. Focus on the Family Report's an extreme example. Church secretary in one town stole $186,000 from the church to play the casino. Now, I know that's an extreme example, but look at the extent this person went to just to play the lottery. Stealing, you know, Malachi asked the question, will a man rob God? And of course, no one wants to rob God, and yet brought this person to that extreme case. Well, how should a Christian make money? You know, here's the main problem tonight as well. Someone says, what's wrong with gambling? I say, what's right with gambling? Must the Christian have authority for what he does in this life? The Bible says so. Colossians 3, verse 17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of, which means by the authority of Jesus Christ. Tonight we ask, where is the passage in this book? Where does it say not to? That's not the question we'd be asking. Where does it say a Christian can do that? And friend, you can read from cover to cover, and you just don't find any authority for this being a way to make money. Well, how does the Bible authorize me to make money or to make a profit? Number one, I can work. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, if a man won't work, neither shall he eat. The opposite is, if a man will work, he has the right to eat, the right to be paid. Secondly, I can sell land or goods and make money or profit with that. Acts chapter 4 and 5, Ananias and Sapphira had land and sold it, and they laid a certain amount at the apostles' feet. There's authorization for selling something and making a profit off of that as well. And then, of course, someone could trade something for goods or services. Genesis chapter 34, we have the idea of someone coming into land and trading what he had for something else of value. So I can work and make money. I can sell something and make money. I can trade something of value for something else of value. Where do you fit gambling into this? It's not working. You're not selling anything, and you're sure not trading for something else. God's model for me making money or making profit is contained right here. And friends, gambling just doesn't fit that model. It doesn't fit what God has set forth for His child in the idea of earning money and things of that nature. Well, as well tonight, let's consider that gambling destroys families. I mentioned it to you earlier, but here's some statistics that show this. In Illinois, a review of the state's gaming records found that in a 72-hour period, or in a 14-month period, 72 children were left abandoned in their cars while someone in charge of them gambled. 72 children left in their car while somebody went and took care of an addiction. In Louisiana and South Carolina, children died after being locked in hot car for hours while their caretakers gambled. In Oklahoma, this also happened in Oklahoma City and just south of us. People were actually arrested for child abuse. They couldn't find a babysitter, and so they went to a casino, rolled the windows down a little in the middle of the summer, and left their kids there. Now, friend, you talk about an addiction and hurting the family. There it is. An Illinois mother was sentenced to prison for suffocating her infant daughter so that she could collect insurance money for a gambling habit. You talk about destroying the family. Look at what it did to that little girl's life. In gambling communities, spousal abuse and divorce rates always skyrocket. Why? Because this is not good for the family. This is not helpful for Christians. This is not going to bring us closer together, help us to help one another get to heaven, help us to make the goals that we want. There'll always be abuse and there'll always be divorce if somebody has a gambling problem, because it is more important than the family. Also tonight, as we think about gambling, here's how we can deal with the problem. Friends, it all comes down to somebody's got the idea that they're going to hit it big. Realize tonight, Ed McMahon just ain't coming. It's a news flash, Ed McMahon's not coming. Not only is he not coming, Ed McMahon in 2008 owed $644,000 on his own mortgage that he couldn't pay, and he was foreclosed on. Ed McMahon's not coming, he's in money trouble himself. Your big payday's not coming. Don't get this grand idea that somehow, some way, I'm going to pay a dollar and I'm going to hit it big. Friend, that's just not going to happen. It's not a reality, and don't live your life like it is. Secondly, how to deal with the problem. Realize right now, I've got more riches than I could ever begin to imagine. The lottery doesn't compare with what I've got as a Christian. Friend, I wouldn't sell God short by playing the lottery on what He's promised me, would you? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions, Jesus said. Were it not so, I would have told you. Playing a game and winning a monetary amount here just doesn't compare with the glory and splendor of heaven. Thirdly, we've got to learn to be content. Would you open your Bible with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6? 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want you to see a statement, a phrase Paul uses here that I think if we can really take a hold of, will help to shape the way we think about money and finances in this life. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want you to look at the words of verse 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. The Bible says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul said in Philippians 3, I've learned to be abased and I've learned to abound. I've learned to be rich and poor. In whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. Don't always be chasing the next big thing. Don't always be looking for your big payday to come in. Be content with what you have. Why? Well, look in verse 7. It is certain we brought nothing into this world and we'll take nothing out of it. If you won the lottery right now, friend, what good would that do you toward eternity? Here's what Jesus said. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? It just doesn't compare with the glory we as Christians have. And as Christians, we need to avoid the love of money. Continue with me in 1 Timothy 6, verse 7. We brought nothing in this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, not money in of itself, but the love of money, is a root of all kinds of evil, from which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money, that's what gambling is. It's an addiction to and a love for having more money. Christians need to learn to be content. Well, think about this as well then, as we think tonight about gambling. What's an application that we can make and take home with us? Just don't participate in it. Don't open Pandora's box. Don't even go there. Don't buy lottery tickets. Don't go to the casino. Don't put your numbers in for the pick five. Just don't do it. Avoid sin at all costs. That's the best advice we could ever give. Secondly, be a voice against gambling. Friends, in the states, Texas, Oklahoma, the states that were around us, Tennessee, such is beginning to be the case as well, they pawned it off on the idea that it was going to be good for the education system. Friend, I'm here to tell you, in Oklahoma and Texas, we're bankrupt in the education system. It's getting that way here. Where's the lottery now? People ought to be asking that question. It never was intended. That was the horse they rode it in on. But it was never intended to be that. It never made that great of a contribution. Secondly, or thirdly, don't contribute to the gambling industry in any way. I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. I want to avoid sin at all costs, and I want to avoid every appearance of evil. And so does the devil do his part in making things alluring? You bet he does. Hebrews 11 verse 25 says that Moses forsook the passing pleasure of sin. Is there initial pleasure to sin? We'd be lying if we said there weren't. But is it passing? Absolutely. If I go down to the casino and I hit it big, let's say I put in $20 and I win $1,000, about how long would that make me happy? About the time I spent $999 of that, I'd be headed back to the casino. And then I'd be looking for more. And I'd want to spend more. And it will never satisfy our inner longing. Only God can do that. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, true satisfaction, true joy, true peace, and true contentment can only be gained in Jesus Christ. Are you a child of God? Have you obeyed the gospel? If not, why not tonight? There's no greater time than right now to become a Christian. If, as a Christian, maybe your life hasn't been lived like it should, maybe you've said things or done things that you know is not right with God, why not make that right tonight? And as a Christian, if you've been living like you ought to, then friends, keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Don't let the devil get you down. Don't get discouraged. Heaven will truly be worth it all.